The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, good after lunch, Santa Cruz. I'm Richard Quigley. I'm going to be your host for the next 40 minutes or so on KSCO, AM 10 Radio. This is a little talk show that we do on Thursday. I like to call the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. And we're going to cover a bunch of different stuff today. I'm feeling particularly ready. Yeah, it's been a real exciting week for me. But most of it you guys can't relate to because it's the kind of stuff that gets a little bit complex even in the doing, never mind the telling. But the good news is that we've got some really exciting stuff happening in on the planet right now. I think the best way for me to start out, yeah, we'll go ahead and take on Superman's cape. In light of the editorial you heard a few minutes ago from Mrs. Werling, absolutely, she's right. And what is the fix? The Gray Davis recall has opened some very interesting doors, and it's got a lot of people thinking about a lot of stuff. And it's the first time that I've had the proper validation for my contention that we are out of sync with our technology and our government. As you all know, we have a representative form of government wherein we elect people to travel to Sacramento or to Washington, D.C. to represent our points of view in the legislation that they generate every year. And that system of government at the time it was put in was a very reasonable and logical one because the fastest means we had of communication at that time, and you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, the call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. You can fax me at 475-2967. And as usual, I'll remind you, I'm pretty much blind, so make it big enough for me to read. But our representative form of government was born over 225 years ago, and it came at a time, like I say, the fastest means of communication we had was a little bitty guy on a long-legged horse. So it made absolute sense that we would explain to a senator what it is that we would like them to go to Sacramento or Washington and accomplish for us. But I have long contended, ever since the telephone became clear to me as a communication device, that we really are working with an antiquated system. Now, for those of you that would say that I'm about to advocate the overthrow of our government, then therefore, you know, I'm the worst kind of felon, I understand that's exactly what I'm doing, except for the fact that I think the law requires that I advocate the violent overthrow of our government, which, of course, I absolutely do not. But we do need a change. And when are we going to pony up to this, folks? When are we going to take responsibility for running our country? Because we have the ability now. Why do we need to elect even so much as a supervisor to sit down with other elected supervisors, representatives of the will of the people, and hope that they will reflect accurately what it is that we want done? What I'm proposing is a long look at what we're doing and maybe a back away from it and see if we can't take advantage of this wonderful invention of Al Gore, the Internet, and substitute ourselves for our representative form of government. I think if you mull that over, you'll start to see all kinds of positive things that will come from that. For one thing, it eliminates the effect of lobbyists, because how's the lobbyist going to have their way with everybody? It just doesn't work that way. We elect these representatives. They go to their appointed duty station, whatever that happens to be, and the first thing they run into at the door is a guy with a checkbook, and it's a joke, but it's not funny that legislature, California's got the best legislature money can buy. And they're purchased every day, and they're purchased by special interest groups by money. And we can replace that entire system if we simply do away with the legislature. Let the will of the people be spoken through our computers. For the amount of money that we pay the legislatures, we could have some pretty fine machinery available to those folks that are not home equipped with computers. We could actually build stations that are much like the public libraries, except they are public information stations where you would be able to go in and sit down at a funded computer and review all the issues that are in front of the people for a decision and read the pros and the cons on these and then cast your vote. And your vote will apply one for one. No special interest involved, no lobbyist pressure involved, no trading this deal for that deal involved. And the legislators, since they won't be there, won't be able to do the kind of things that Mrs. E pointed out adequately, although I don't quite agree with her that Ellen Puri is wonderful for not having taken this raise that she voted herself. If Ellen Puri had gone back in and unwound the pay raise that they'd voted for the Board of Supervisors or even sponsored a bill to do that, I could have added my kudos to the stations, but that's not what she did. What she did was she waived the first year as if that's some sort of a big deal. Well, pardon me, the sin is in voting in the raise. Whether or not you decide to participate in the benefit of that sin right away or not, I think has little to do with whether or not you're doing the job that the people want you to do. And I don't think that the people really thought it was appropriate in the middle of these times for these folks to be voting themselves the type of pay raise they did, especially when that pay raise they gave to the deputies was nominal at best. But to get back to the power of the people and the Internet, one of the surprises that this recall Gray Davis campaign has come up with is the power of the people. In order, how does this recall thing go? I'm going to try to explain my understanding of it and hope I don't get bogged down. But as I understand it, it's going to take about 900,000 bona fide signatures to have the recall done. But there's a discovery took place while they were doing this. And right now, by the way, the petitions are coming in because of the use of the Internet for printing out ballots and access to the Internet for printing out ballots or petitions. They are coming in at a rate that absolutely surpassed anything that anybody even wildly imagined would happen as far as getting this done. Now, it doesn't mean when somebody hands you the petition or everything's handled, don't bother to sign it. No, go ahead. If you want to see the recall take place, go ahead and sign it. It doesn't hurt at all if we end up with twice as many votes as we needed by the time this thing is done. But what happened was is that the big party guys figured out, because of the way this Gray Davis thing has worked, that suddenly we have this incredible tool available to get rid of bureaucrats that displease us enough to warrant these recalls, to be able to go up on the Internet and make downloaded petitions available to individuals that they can hand out to their friends and then that they can be mailed in. Show these party leaders this incredible amount of strength that we have for controlling our government and controlling our elected officials. And one of the other interesting things that they've discovered and is particularly peculiar to the Gray Davis recall is what happens when they get 10% of the number of votes that they need to do this recall. Because that is a significant point in time. When there are 10% of the votes filed or the signatures filed necessary to do the recall, they've been counted and they're all been accumulated and everybody's verified that these names are good. When they hit that I think it's an 89,000 figure, let's make it 90,000 just to round it off. When they hit that 90,000 figure of checked out signatures, which I believe will take place on Monday, there's a dramatic thing happens within the system. The way the California Constitution is set up is that the errors apparent, the line of replacement, the fact that the that if Gray Davis were to, say, resign today, Bustamante would be the next governor. He would just step up and take the reins, and he would be the governor until we had the next election. But after they have filed and certified that first 90,000 votes, that goes away. That's gone. No longer can Gray Davis resign and Bustamante take over. What it does is it throws everything up in the air. Now, if he resigned after next Monday, what would they do for a governor? They would not appoint Bill Lockyer. They would not appoint the spokesperson for the for either the Assembly or the Senate. But the line that follows down in case of a national emergency where people start either quitting or die, that whole line of inheritance to the throne, as it were, goes away. So that Bustamante could very well step up and be the acting temporary governor of the state of California. But I think his ability to govern are substantially limited. I don't think his signature carries the weight of the governor's signatures except in emergency situations and the like. But he would at least hold the seat and be able to administer some of the stuff that the governor does. This is KSCO, AM 1080 Talk Radio. The call-in lines are 479-1080, KMY's number. I'm sorry, call-in number 4KMY is 477-1340. That'll ring through here. Fax is 479-475-2967. That's what happens when my adrenaline gets ahead of my mouth. Because I'm really excited about this. I mean, the potential for our future is just opened up magnificently because of these, what is happening with this Gray Davis recall. Because like I'm saying, if you've got a bad representative and you want to get rid of them, everybody's begun to understand that it's a very easy thing to do. If at the beginning of the Gray Davis recall they had known what they know today, it is projected that we would already have all the signatures necessary to force that recall election. But it's been a learning process on how to use these tools. And I think the ultimate lesson, I would hope that the ultimate lesson from learning how to use these tools is that we will understand the communication abilities of the people. And that as a people, we will move to disband the representative form of government at all levels. I mean, from the United States to the state of California, to the counties, to the cities. You can have spokespeople that, you know, I don't know how you would set it up so that your issues are campaigned, but to give them teeth, these people would not be able to represent you in a meaningful way as far as representing your vote. Your vote would no longer get lost to the majority or the big lobbyist or any of that kind of thing. And I am kind of curious as to whether or not you folks would be interested in running your own government for a change if you see any advantage or disadvantage to this plan. Because except for the fact that I doubt seriously that the government, the legislative bodies are going to be anxious to replace themselves and in effect go home, is going to be sort of limited. And there's a thing that somebody wrote one time, that nobody ever gave up power without a struggle. So when I talk about changing the government and in essence overthrowing it, I hope that we would understand that the ability of the voice of the people to be heard is without doubt the most pure form of constitutional democracy that we could have. I can't imagine a more pure state. Ace has called in and wants to talk about mobocracy. I'll see what she's got this morning. Asa, good morning. I haven't talked to you since last week. How are you?
Well, good. I mean, I just keep wanting to rain on your parade all the time. I don't mean to do that.
I do
not mean to do that. But I just have this horrible feeling that you want to throw out the baby with bathwater. Now, I'm perfectly willing to believe that our representatives are far from desirable most of the time. I do believe with you that the lobbyists are probably far, you know, the money business is really a bad thing. So those two things are really bad. I do not see how those same nasty things cannot actually flourish under this mobocracy you prepared to create.
Well, it's not mobocracy.
Well, it certainly is. There's nothing standing between the mob and whatever it wants.
Well, no, it would be the purest form of democracy. It would be the opportunity for every voice to be heard.
That is absolutely the worst thing possible, because there will be voices. There will be the same pressure things happening to these little individual people are not any different from the little individual people that are making up groups and things now.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They will form these little pressure groups. In other words, they will abolish the little protections that the minority has. There will be no grace left for the minority voice to be heard.
I get what you're saying, and that is a legitimate fear, is that we will not be able to function as a republic with the protections of the republic in that
exactly.
kind of democracy. Yes, ma'am, but you see, I'm not saying throw away the republic.
Yes, you did. You said throw away all the people.
No, ma'am. I said get rid of the representative form of government. That has nothing to do with the elements of a republic.
Okay, well, how do you maintain a republic?
The way that you maintain a republic is that whatever this mob or whatever the will of the people is, it can only move insofar as it does not violate the rights of the minorities. And my example is the layman's explanation of the difference between a democracy and a republic. In a democracy is when two wolves and a sheep sit down and vote as to what's for dinner.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to be the sheep. But in a republic, it can be 100-1, it can be 1,000-1. They can vote that the sheep is for dinner, but in a republic, the rights of that sheep reign supreme. So that the vote is, what do you mean, how?
How do you protect that poor little minority? How do you protect?
You simply obey the law of the land. And it's much more easy to do when you have communication with the citizens than if you have this representative form of government, because the representative. Do you know that
Just one second.
Okay.
You say that I have better recourse through the courts than I do through my representative.
Oh, amen.
And the courts are just as bad as the rep.
Well, at today, today that is true. And the reason that is true is that these lobbyists and their corruption move through the legislature into the courts, so that our courts have become political bodies. But once the people have the ability to call these people to task, the laws are what the laws are. And if the courts, you know, in Nazi Germany, the courts turned their back on the law that protected the folks in Germany at the time. They did exactly what the courts are doing in the United States today at many of the lower levels. I don't see it at the Supreme Court levels to anywhere near the extent in appellate courts, but the courts that you and I actually deal with, the superior courts and the federal district courts, politics plays a huge role in what goes on there.
Not to mention, if we want to go to court, we can't afford to.
Well, yeah, exactly. But the point is that before, if for example, the way that I see this happening and working is that you have an idea for a statute that would improve the way that we live. And what you would do is you would go to the Internet and you would put that with proposed legislation. And then the people would have an opportunity at their leisure to go through and look at all proposed legislation. If some folks come along and they find this and they like it, and you get a bunch of people supporting this, at some level it should break away to where someone would actually draft the legislation. Now, while pardon?
Ooh, you've fired them all.
Oh, no. Didn't fire legislative council. And legislative council today writes all the law that we see. So you have this body up there in Sacramento that is already in a position to determine whether or not a statute is constitutional or unconstitutional. The problem that you have is that they have no teeth. In other words, I think I told this story a few weeks ago. I went up there and talked to Ledge Council one time, and I asked them, what do you do when a legislator wants to do something, and that something would be unconstitutional? He says, well, we write a letter back to them when we draft the language. They draft the language anyway. And then they send a letter back to the legislator explaining to them that statute would probably be unconstitutional. Now, does that letter stay with the statute as it goes to the legislature for a vote? No, it doesn't. It is not attached. It is not stapled. It is simply set on top when the packet is sent back to the author. What does he do? He drops it in the trash. They move into the legislature. They feel this compulsion to make 1,000 new laws every year. And without one word about the thing being recommended as unconstitutional by their own lawyers, that bill goes to the legislature. If passed, becomes law. And the rule of 4121 applies. One of the most horrific sounds I ever heard was a newly elected senator in Sacramento some 8 years ago. Had just gotten there, been there about 10 days, and figured out how it all works. And he explained to me the rule of 2141. And according to him, when I asked him, what's the rule of 2141, he says, when 21 senators and 41 assembly people agree, it's the law. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, if it's right or wrong, if it's constitutional or unconstitutional, that's the law.
Okay.
That is the way that they administer the legislature.
Okay. Okay. Now that's the legislature you're talking about, saving us from the abuse of the majority. I want to pass a law. I put my little message in the internet. I think that it would be nice for everybody to have a chicken in every pot, a car in every garage, and a roof over every head. Now, everybody thinks it's a wonderful idea. Who is there to put the brakes on?
In a pure democracy, it has to be, if we are a nation of laws, it has to be the law. In a pure democracy, you and I, neither one want a pure democracy. The only ones that want a pure democracy are the ones that want nothing so that they can vote cumulatively to take something from those that do have to disperse it among those that don't, including themselves. And that's scary stuff. That could not happen in this scheme once established, because anything that goes down that road is unlawful, can't be done. You can't take a man's property because there's 20 of you and only one of him. You get to be the one sheep at the banquet with the 200 wolves. They can vote till they tip over. But it's still not going to be mutton. It may not be something that the sheep's going to want to eat, but it ain't going to be mutton.
But if there would be, let's say, some protection, now mind you, I don't believe that our protections are so good now, but there's at least some. Some protection against the triumph of the majority.
I'm not saying it just doesn't have to be set up right. It absolutely has to be set up right. But I really think, if you think about it, the reason for the representative form of government has to do with the speed with which information travels. And we do not have that reason today. Today, we would have established that form of government. There would be no reason to. And I see no reason to continue to fund it. But I really appreciate your input. You did rain on my parade, and you're welcome to call back anytime.
Now,
I'm going to go do some commercials. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
What a sweet lady. I do enjoy talking to her. And in line with what I promised you, we are going to hear some from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. We have modem coverage for all of California and web-based email, so you can check your email from any internet connection in the world. Our spam filtering and virus protection services will keep your inbox free from unwanted messages. GotNet specializes in providing high-quality, fast, friendly customer support. We're here 7 days a week to serve you. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Okay, we're back. This is Richard Quigley cleaning up the back half of the United States Freedom Fighter Forum here on KSCO, AM 1080. Call-in lines for this little talk radio jewel are 479-1080, 477-1340. You can fax me at 475-2967, and I'll read it if I can see it. I've been talking about seeing if we can't replace our representative form of government with something that would actually be suitable to us. Something that was actually responsive to the will of the people, because it came from there. And Steve over in Watsonville has some ideas on what that would work out to be. Steve, are you there? Welcome to KSCO.
Yeah, hi, Quig. What I was wondering is, you're thinking that it'll eliminate the lobbyists from the equation, and I think we already have something kind of close to what you're talking about in the California initiative system, and there's lobbyists aplenty there. You see all these little 15-second TV spots with all the distortions trying to get people to vote one way or the other, and they're all funded by the big money people that will either be hurt or benefited by the initiative. And I was wondering how you would go about trying to protect the system by being corrupted like that with, big money people putting on Internet ads trying to persuade people to go one way or the other.
Yeah, you know, and that is one of the things that passed through my mind. I didn't just start thinking about this morning. It's been on my mind for years. And the fact of the matter is today, if a lobbyist shows up in Sacramento and lies to a legislator, to encourage him to lie to other legislators to the end of doing something to you that is not a benefit to you, there is no downside. That is not a crime. We watch it all the time. I was sitting in Nevada, and they got a sign right up in front of the Senate Transportation Committee. Says you're considered to be under oath here, lying is in fact perjury. And I sat right there and listened to the representative from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration lie to those people, and they did nothing about it. What you do is you put teeth in your objection to false statements. If someone, I heard you saying, it goes to the propaganda masters, the guys that really know how to run the propaganda, they can make black seem like white. They could turn the world on its ear. But there's two things that would have to happen if we got rid of the representative form of government and people started to run the government themselves. First thing is they'd have to start paying attention. Now, the way that happens is that I believe that the first thing that we would benefit from would be a dramatic drop in the kind of things that we are made to pay for, once we're not being told what to pay for by these legislators. The people have a whole lot more regard for their property and their neighbor's property than the government apparently does. The show yesterday on water rights should have taught you something about that. I mean, the government here in Santa Cruz County, they believe, in line with Agenda 21, United Nations, they believe that they really have the right to come in and meter water on private property. One of the oldest fights in this country has been water rights. There have been more bodies laid to waste over water rights than any other single property rights issue in this country in its history. And here it is still, we're 2003, we're in the 21st century, and this is unresolved today. And it's unresolved because the people that represent us do not represent us. They represent the people that helped get them elected, and they represent the people that come through the door with the money or the other perks. But they do not represent us. If we represented ourselves, our vote would reflect our will as a people. And we wouldn't have to be dealing with this kind of stuff. I mean, it's not one of those things that I would expect you to accept right away, Steve. It's.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing against it. I just
need to think about it.
I'm just making sure my feeling is there isn't a good idea in the world that isn't being chased by people trying to corrupt it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, well stated. And of course, if we went about to set up something like this, that would be the main thing, is how in God's name do you prevent this system from becoming corrupt? That would be the biggest hassle that we'd have to face. But the idea of keeping something as mechanically based, as impartially based, as objectively based as a computer operating system. I mean, we're talking about a non-infected. We're talking about a pure system where no matter what the input will be reflected by the output, so that you get in, your vote will be one for one of the people that participate. And so when you've got a legislator, it doesn't work that way. If the majority of the people in his district do not want to surrender, for example, their rights to the roadways. I watched this go away in 1994. Everybody thinks that I'm still sitting here beating a dead horse. Maybe I am. But on January 1, 1995, you lost, for all intents and purposes, for all time, your right to use public property, e.g. the roadways, property for which you have paid an equal share, property in which you have an equal interest. But the legislature found and declared in the Safe Streets Act of 1994, implemented January 1, 1995, Vehicle Code Section 14607.4. Stop me when I make a mistake. They wrote, the legislature hereby finds and declares that driving a motor vehicle on the public roadways in the state of California is a privilege, not a right. Now, In one of the cases that everybody goes to, Miranda, for the whole Fifth Amendment protection, you move back and you read more of Miranda. Miranda also points out that the legislature cannot abrogate a right. And if the legislature did not, in fact, abrogate your right to use the roadways or attempt to with that piece of legislation in 1995, then I must have been missing something because I was there. I argued with them. I sat there in front and said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And who do you think you're dealing with? Now, I took one of the authors of the bill off his own bill. And that was Senator Presley. But the bill passed, and that is the state of the law. And there's no convincing any cop or any court in the state of California right now that driving's not a privilege. But I'm going to try.
Well,
I'm going to try.
You're pursuing an ideal system, and I always support that. But, it really does come down to voter education. That would make it even more important.
Well, voter education...
If things were being run by a couple of smart fellows like me and you, it'd be heaven on earth. But there's some really uninformed and misinformed people out there, and we're going to have to get them a lot smarter.
Well, you got the devil on one side and the deep blue on the other, and I hear what you're saying. Yeah. How do we manage to make the dumbing down of the citizens not be a problem to the uplifting of our government? And that sure is going to require some thinking, some calculation. But I'll tell you that we are not going to move forward to an other than representative form of government till we start thinking about it.
Okay. Well, I'll open it up for other callers, and I thank you for your time.
I appreciate your call very much, Steve. Call anytime. Yeah, this is it probably first in impulses to think that it's a half-baked notion. It can't ever work. But put it in there with those things that you think about when you just like to think about things. And see if over a period of time you don't begin to understand the advantage of it, appreciate the advantage. I can't guess what your personal interests are or how you personally feel is important. But if you go back and review some legislation that you've been faced with and some situations that you've had to deal with, that and think about how you would be able to handle that in a situation where you could have as much voice as everyone else to go up and propose new legislation. I mean, there would just be a website where here's an idea for some legislation. And it would be categorized by where it was and what it was involved with. And you could work your way through these things. But, you know, right now it doesn't work that way. If you want a bill put before the legislature, what you got to do is you got to figure out some way to get a legislator to carry it in. And that comes with money. That comes with power. And if you got to have power and money to protect what you've already got, what in the world makes this such a great system? Why shouldn't we just tear it down just because, you know what I mean? Anyway, I got Ken calling from Carmel. I got to take my long-distance calls early. Ken, are you there? Welcome to Carmel.
Yeah, hi, Richard. The question I'd like to ask you is, I'm familiar with John Burton. I know he was a major cocaine user, but he did considerable rehab time, that every third or fourth word he utters is a curse word, that he's so far left he's in Vladivostok. And the question I want to know is why no one talks about him.
Well, it moves off point just a tad, but on the other hand, it kind of hangs there. I don't know. You know, I think in my case, I never heard of him. He's from the Carmel area?
No, his name is John Burton. He's the pro tem of the Senate of the legislature, California. In a lot of ways, he's more powerful than Davis.
Okay, understood. So he's elected from like somewhere down south or something.
He's in San Francisco.
He's out of San Francisco. Got it.
Boy, Richard, if you don't know that much about him, you better get current.
Well, no, I will. Do you think I'm going to walk out of here today and be ready to come back next week and have you call me on the fact I don't know who John Burton is? I'll find out not only who he is, but I'll find out why it is nobody talks about him.
Well,
but,
great.
See, I'm interested in getting rid of him. I'm interested in getting rid of him and the guy that came before him and the guy that's coming after him. I would like to see everybody start thinking about a pure representative form of government that where we represent ourselves, not where we send somebody up to Sacramento. But besides the reason that you and I get broken away from guys like Burton is that they have this thing called protocol. And when you go to Sacramento, if you wanted to talk to John Burton, do you understand that you have no standing to do that?
That's correct. And he is also a parliamentarian in the vein of Robert Byrd. And he's always passing these parliamentarian exclamations, and nobody knows what the hell he's talking about, but he seems to get away with it. But this guy is the weirdest of all in the Senate, although John Laird is he's pretty weird, too.
Well, they got a bunch of bad boys up there, and they've gotten rid of some, but they when they did that term limits, they flushed out a bunch of garbage, and I was real grateful that that happened. The replacements have tried to make us pay one hell of a price, but we got rid of Dick Katz. Dick Katz was the one that got in bed with the feds to take away your right to use the roadways. He was an absolute criminal. And when he left there, they didn't find him any other job anywhere. As far as I know, he works for National DOT right now. He must, because he made him a ton of money. Either that or he's in the insurance business. But the point that I wanted to make earlier was, when I say you don't have the standing to talk to Burton, you understand that. I would guess that the average listener doesn't. But what happens is that when you call to speak to John Burton's office, they will ask you where you live. And if you're not in his district and you didn't vote for him and can't vote for him, you simply have no standing.
It's more than that, Richard. It's the idea that people should demand to take a look at him, because I never see him on television or on the radio. We should demand to hear him step forward and give his viewpoint. I think people would be shocked, but I think some way he's got to be accountable to at least do that.
Well, you would hope. And again, it's a matter because we do not get to participate more in what goes on. I think that we tend not to pay enough attention to what goes on. And so it might be that as we think about this idea, that we might begin to understand that those kinds of things are not only the reason for it, but the justification, for even approaching the subject. I have been frustrated by bad legislators. We suffered for years under Brown.
Oh, yes.
You know?
I went to the same high school as Moonbeam, and he couldn't carry his old class.
Well, it was a different Brown I was thinking about.
You're talking about Edmund Brown.
I'm talking about the mayor of Oakland right now.
Oh, no, that's what I said. I went to the same high school. They used to call him Moonbeam.
Yeah, no, that's Jerry Brown. I'm talking about across the bay. Is it not Brown?
No, it's Jerry Brown is the son, and the father was Edmund G.
Right, no, I got
Brown.
That one. I know that relationship. Move across the bay to the city, San Francisco.
Willie Brown.
Yeah, there's your guy.
Okay.
And I don't understand, Willie Brown got, the term limits were to get rid of him. That's what they were for. And the kind of behavior that I think you're objecting to was just passed on. They just passed it on like a mantle to Burton. But I will definitely research that boy this week, and we'll talk about him some more next week.
I tell you, Burton makes Willie Brown look good, so that ought to give you some incentive.
That'll give you something to look forward to.
We'll listen to you. When are you going to be on next week?
Next Thursday, same time, same channel.
Look forward to it.
20 afternoon. Thank you for your call,
Ken. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And then I got this... here's an email from Cyril. And Cyril says the reason we have a representative government is not because we need to have a horse and cart, but because there is the nature of human society specialization. You do not have accountants making shoes or web designer manufacturing sausage. No, but you do have people managing our lives. We do manage our own lives. We have the ability to manage our own lives. We do not need micromanagement of our lives. If we are not properly trained to administer a non-representative form of government because our educational system has let us down, Cyril, I would strongly recommend that before we give up on the notion of dumping legislators, that we probably figure out some way to get the educational system bolstered up a little bit. And I ain't talking about throwing money at them. I'm talking about throwing education at them. I have been invited to come down and talk to one of the local schools. I've been reluctant to do it about what freedom is all about because I don't necessarily want to see any school teachers get fired. But at the same time, within this system, our educators do not teach the children, the young people, how to do anything except comply. They don't teach them how to fix. They don't teach them how to address the problems fed to us by the government. They just teach them how to comply, how to get in line, shut up, pay attention, give the money, the whole back talk. And this is not, this is, it undermines freedom every direction. Freedom is not an easy thing to maintain. It is very difficult. It requires constant vigilance. It's been spoken by those most profound for all the thousands of years of man. How delicate it is and difficult it is to attain this thing called freedom. And it's to the point most people don't even know what it is, don't have any way to find out. I didn't know what freedom was until I started looking at what I had instead, until I started to read, until I started to study. I thought I was free. I thought I understood what freedom was. I thought I not only understood it for me, but for everybody else. And what I've discovered is I didn't know. I have been finding out. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, except maybe just keep pounding on this door. Every, 7 days, come to the radio station, do what I do here, go home at night and do my work on the internet, and do what I can to see if I can't help restore freedom in my lifetime. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, California. This has been the United States Freedom Fighter Forum with Richard Quigley. I'll be back next week to do it again. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for calling in. Bye.